Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 32 of the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? I'm with Matt and Alan and morale is low. Matt, how are you, pal?
I'm okay. Managed to lose my phone and my wallet this weekend.
Oh my God.
It's not been a vintage one, but it's nice to see you boys. And
How many beers?
Quite a lot. Quite a few shandies in the end.
Really?
Yeah, some white wine. Stupid.
And Alan, you're struggling with some hay fever, so...
Sinuses are flaring up big time.
So your famous nasal tones are going to be turned up to 11.
It's going to be a nightmare for everyone involved.
Well, with that, please do stick around. We've got a really good show for you. Thanks for listening to us on iTunes or on Acast and chatting to us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we've had a few more emails in our burgeoning Thistle mailbag, and that is thethistlerugby@gmail.com. If you do listen on iTunes, please get on there, give us a rating and a review, like this one from Not a Fan of Ryan Wilson, who says, top quizzes, niche Scottish banter, and at times cynical views, all the ingredients for a great podcast. Please keep up the good work. That was 5 stars, so thanks a lot for that. So we've got a great show. We've had a chat with Johnny Petrie, the managing director of Edinburgh Rugby, on the day of their big rebrand and the announcement of Mini Murrayfield. So we're going to play that in a little bit, but before we get to that, we're going to have a quick look at the news from the last couple of weeks, including a slightly strange signing, in my opinion, from Glasgow, who've signed an American number 8 called David Tamalo. Anyone get any thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't think anyone had ever heard of him.
I mean, no, absolutely not. He's not that young either. He's 28 years old. Although, to be fair, I think the story was he played a bit of rugby when he was younger. Then he went to college to play American football. And he only decided to start playing rugby again when he was 25.
Really?
So he's actually only come back and been playing rugby.
So he's had a big 3 years.
Big 3 years. And he was obviously had to get a season at Narbonne. And then... he's now playing for one of the teams in like Major League Rugby in the US.
Yeah, I don't know which one. But he got signed for Newcastle when he was given a contract.
I love
just didn't turn up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So hopefully he turns up.
That would be
at
step
Scotland.
One.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
But you know, we've talked an awful lot about the answer to Glasgow's big ball carrying problems. I'm going to be very surprised if it is David Tamalo.
Well, I mean, I've watched his highlights reel, and he does a lot of big ball carrying.
Yeah.
But that is in Major League Rugby.
Yeah.
And they're not even that good.
Yeah.
He carries, but are they that good?
So
I know, you never know. But it, yeah, I just think it's a bit underwhelming, isn't it? But we'll see.
Yeah.
We will see. Presumably it's just quite cheap and they're taking a bit of a punt on him.
Yes. Punt on the ground. Correct.
Right, so, and then quickly looking back, was it even last weekend or 2 weekends ago? Finn and Grieg getting a second win against England.
Last weekend.
For the Barbarians last weekend. Finn looking very nice.
Oh, it's like the, one of the best I've seen him play the whole season, infuriatingly. And I think it was, maybe it was the players he had outside him.
Yeah.
So had like, he could look to his left or right and have Rudrada or Tuisova. And he was like, I don't really need to do anything ridiculous. Or Ashton. Yeah. He was really good. And it was really good to see, actually. I was quite pleased for him, like, playing at Twickenham against England. I think some people don't still give him the credit he deserves.
I think for a player like that, having absolutely no burden of having to play structure or tactic rugby, I think is perfect for
That's him. What I thought. I was just like, if for the first time they've actually been like, Finn, do what the hell you want.
Yeah.
He's not been hemmed in at all, so...
Mm.
And hopefully he'll have sort of similar players outside him at Racing, you know, like Fakatawa and Teddy Tomani. He's just like, here you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Just go and do stuff.
And he's going to be standing behind an absolute beast, like sort pack. Of dominant pack as well. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch. What about, okay, news this, I think it only came out yesterday or on Friday, the fixtures for next year. The SRU have announced that Silver Saturday is going to happen again. So all the finals of the domestic competitions plus... the third leg of the 1872 Cup are going to be played at Murrayfield at the tail end of next year. Now, this has caused an awful lot of upset on Twitter from Glasgow fans that I've seen, because they will then have two away 1872 fixtures and one less sort of home fixture for their season ticket. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
I mean, if you want to build it up as a big day and you want to get as big a crowd as possible for that match, then... it's the only place you can really play it, unless you take it to, I don't know, Celtic Park or Hampden or something. But well, again, that's not home fixture. So
you could just have the two winter games in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Could do that.
Yeah.
But I imagine you probably make quite a lot of money on that Christmas fixture at Murrayfield.
Yeah, exactly.
25,000 people through the door.
From an SRU perspective, it makes absolute sense. But if I was a Glasgow fan, I'd think it was fucking horseshit.
I mean, is the point that also a lot of those Glasgow players, you know, Murrayfield's not exactly an away fixture for them.
Yeah, it's not, but it is still Edinburgh's grind.
Yeah, that's true.
And there will be an over-indexing of Edinburgh fans.
Over-indexing. Hello, Alan.
Where did that come from?
Like, is this this new sports business book that I can see next to you that you're reading?
Like Will Ferrell in Old School?
Yeah. Blacked out.
But I also think, you know, we expect Edinburgh to be challenging for positions next year. And obviously they've done these games on sort of a two-year cycle where one team gets more games, one, and then the next year it switches around. And I think if I was one of the other top teams in their league, I'd be calling bullshit on this, because it does make it does give them an unfair advantage.
Yeah.
Particularly, it's close in the race.
I think this year it didn't matter because Glasgow had already got a home semi. Edinburgh had already qualified for the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter this year. But that sort of scenario that we talked about quite a lot on the pod of what happens if one team needs to take a knee.
Yeah.
It does sort of bring that in. But
and it is the... I saw something interesting on Twitter where obviously it is in the Pro 14 regulations that and a team can't get an additional home game. And someone said it's SRU are starting to have a trend of ignoring regulations in regards where teams or games have to be played.
Very good. Well, we'll see. I'm sure that story will rumble on and the SRU will have to do something about it or not. Under-20s at the World Cup lost their opening game in the dying minutes against Italy, having been... they were a couple scores up at one point, and then sort of Italy seemed to hand them back in. Alan, you were watching this where you're supposed to be working. What was what was going on?
The game kicked off at 5:30, so technically I wasn't on the clock. I think the Italy pack were dominant for the majority of that game.
They looked big. I watched a little bit of it.
They were big, and actually I think Scotland played relatively smart for the majority of that game. Chapman was sort of kicking a lot from nine.
He looks good, doesn't he?
He does look good. And Stafford, but and the two standout players for Glasgow, Scotland under-20s, with Stafford McDowell and Cammy Hutchinson in the centres, who were able to get that, were making breaks and able to get that go-forward ball. But there was a sort of sense at the end of that game that Scotland were trying to hang on for dear life.
Yeah.
And that Italy pack were just able to make A, turnovers, and B, do that driving maul that just meant that ultimately they lost. And I think if you compare them to last year, it's a young team with a lot less. Not only
they've just, as we speak, sorry to interrupt, they've just scored a bit of a peach against Argentina.
All right.
I can't see the score.
Put it on the full screen.
I mean, 7-12.
7-12?
Yeah, to Argentina.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think they'll be lucky to get out of the group with a win.
Who else is in the group? England as well.
Yeah, they've got England.
They've got Marcus Smith, goodness sake, on the bench.
Yeah. He's starting today, whenever their next player. Yeah.
And then they've got, obviously, Curry brother that's been playing. I can't remember which one it is. But
Ben.
Yeah.
And Ibatoye plays for Harlequins.
Yeah, I think it's going to be real tough, especially for that pack.
Yeah.
Well, so we will keep an eye on that. The Argentina game is continuing at the moment. But obviously, the biggest news of the week came out of Edinburgh on Thursday. And that was the announcement of a mini Murrayfield, a 7,800-person purpose-built stadium on the back pitches of Murrayfield, hopefully for the beginning of the 2019-2020 season has been announced, as well as a rebrand. They are staying named controversially as Edinburgh, and they've gone for
a... There's
no rugby.
It's just Edinburgh.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
We are Edinburgh. This is Edinburgh.
A stated 1872, which makes it look a little bit like a bar or a restaurant. and they've got a new badge, which is burnt orange, we are told by the press release that went out. And they're going to go back to traditional colours of blue, dark blue and white. So it'll be interesting to see what that comes out of what the kit looks like when that is announced. And the third announcement, which sort of got lost behind the burnt orange of the new logo, is they're doing a new ticketing pricing to try and encourage.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They're going to be the cheapest sport to watch in Edinburgh, they say. John Petrie, in our interview, goes into this a little bit more. And I think under 16s will go free with a paying adult. So to try and get more people through the gates and watching it seems pretty good.
There you go.
But as I say, we had a word with Managing Director Johnny Petrie, and here is that. So delighted to be joined by Edinburgh Rugby Managing Director Johnny Petrie. Johnny, how are you?
Good, thanks, David.
It's been a busy day for Edinburgh. How's it been?
Yeah, listen, it's been a lot on the go. There's a lot of good stuff on the go at the club just now, and we felt it important to, off the back of a really positive season for us, to really set our stall about what's coming there. So it's been great in the first place to get to a point with getting the news about our intention to build the stadium out there in the public. At the same time, as we put a planning permission into Edinburgh City Council. But also to get the news about the new brand identity launched as well. So yeah, been a busy day all round.
Absolutely, and you've already touched on it there. Picking up my second question, I mean, how much of the success, that on-field success that Edinburgh enjoyed this year, led to this moment? I mean, for instance, if it had been another sort of middling season with no playoffs and no Champions Cup, would we be standing here with a new stadium on the books?
Yeah, we would have been standing here with a new stadium. I mean, I think fair to say the question around where Edinburgh plays its rugby has been on the go for years and years, as long as I can remember, and we've been, I think, in fairness to our supporters, fairly nomadic over a long period of time. So.
Yeah.
Within that, we've kind of chopped and changed and had to chop and change and tried various things and been at BT Murrayfield and Myerside and Meadowbank and Meggetland and all over Edinburgh, it seems. So it's been one that's been really important for us to get that done. We've been working hard to try and deliver that over the course of the past couple of years, really, first of all, in being to Myerside and then getting to this point. But I wouldn't say it's so much off the back of a good season. It's just actually quite nice that it's married up properly.
Definitely.
It's timed well that we've had a good season. And then we're able to, at the same time as that, announce these exciting new plans. So it just works really well together. So it's not one's happened because of the other, I wouldn't say anyway. But it's important to have both these things on and off the field.
Absolutely.
Both moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. And what effect do you think that's going to have on Edinburgh as a club, having that one sort of home base, not just for the fans, but for the players as well?
Oh, I think for me and for us, we believe it will be transformational. I think you've seen what Cockers has been able to do with that playing group and with that performance group and the way that he's transformed that performance on the field. And it's important to us that people recognise that and they want to sit up and take notice of what we're doing. Yes, you want to see crowds grow, and it's great to have that product on the field that encourages that. But you also want to have a venue and an environment that supporters want to come along to. And we feel that in creating this new stadium, that's exactly what we're going to do. It'll be a brilliant product on the field, and that'll continue to improve over the course of the next couple of years particularly. But also it'll be a great place to come and watch rugby. And that, after a long period of both underperformance on the field, but also the chopping and changing and not being in the perfect stadium, that's something our supporters really deserve.
Absolutely. And I've noticed, what's the choice behind going for a 4G pitch? Is it being built around one of the existing surfaces that's there? I mean, I've noticed that as part of the Super 6 sort of franchise document, it was referenced that 4Gs were going to be sort of almost treated as a premium. Is that a sort of sign of where Scottish rugby is going?
Well, I think we've seen the success and the way that the pitch through at Scotstoun has been over the course of the past few years since that got installed.
Unless you play for the Scarlets, of course.
Well, unless you're playing for the Scarlets, but yeah, that's the less said about that.
They're just whining there.
But listen, we as Edinburgh, from a performance point of view, and as Scottish rugby, we're entirely comfortable with an artificial surface. It's been great for Glasgow through at Scotstoun. And we'll take the opportunity to put that in play in a new stadium. It means that it's an incredibly consistent surface. It's something that can operate year round, and again in a consistent manner. And it's also something from a performance point of view that the coaching team and the players are happy with. And we're looking forward to having it in place and putting on a good show when we get there.
Agreed. My view is more 4G pitches the better, because we don't have that sort of dead 3 months or 2 months over Christmas where the grounds are just a bog. So I'm all for that. On the rebrand itself, I mean, I think almost on his arrival, Richard Cockerell was quite clear that sort of Edinburgh maybe lacked a bit of an identity and has often talked about building a club that people want to come out and support. How much has he personally had sort of to do with this sort of the rebrand that's come out today?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's had a pretty central part to the development of that, and I think he was entirely correct in what he said when he came in. You know, fine well, and that he's always going to speak his mind, and he was spot on with it, and that's a lack of culture and a lack of identity that's probably born out of that history of relative underperformance on the field, but also that being operating in the National Stadium or moving around Edinburgh, and it's really difficult to try and create any sort of club feel and club identity when you're doing that.
Yeah.
So he was right in stating that when he came in. But one of the big things for him is about creating that culture, and he's done that in spades with the playing group that we've got just now. So that's been great, and we've been able to understand what he and the rest of that coaching team and the players, what's important to them moving forward, and we've built that into that brand identity. But having said that as well, and this is with Cockers coming from a place like Leicester as well, where it's very much about the history and the heritage of the club, and we shouldn't forget in Edinburgh here that we do have a significant history from us that predates the professional era, with all sorts of players who've come through our ranks for 145 years. So that's been where it's been important to us to set out the way forward with this identity, but also for that to lean very heavily on on the past, and that led us to the point of wanting to go back to the original district colours of Edinburgh and introducing that dark blue.
Absolutely, and the burnt orange, which sounds very exciting.
I'm not entirely sure I believe your tone there when you say it's very exciting there. So, I mean, listen, that's the red was part of the original colour palette for Edinburgh as well. We've wanted to introduce something quite bold and different in there. And yes, there's clearly the volcanic beginnings of Edinburgh that play a bit of a part in that, without getting too much into marketing speak, I suppose, as well. But we feel it's a bold move, and this for us is all about being bold.
Absolutely.
The predominant colour will always be that dark blue. And yes, there's a fair bit of orange in that logo, but people will now see when that brand starts to come to life through everything that we do, that there'll be a touch of burnt orange rather than that being the burnt orange all over the place. So we're not going all Iron Brew on you.
I was going to say, it was picked up by a couple of our followers on Twitter that this was maybe opening the door for a sponsorship from Iron Brew, but I'll leave that for you guys to work out.
Well, we already have a very fruitful relationship with AG Bar anyway.
Ah, so very good.
They're a very good sponsor of ours, but they have in no way influenced the branding process anyway. So.
Good stuff. I mean, there's been a few rugby teams that have changed the logo, particularly in the English Premiership this year. Gloucester Rugby sort of famously said that if any of their fans had the tattoo of their old logo, they would pay for the replacement. Are Edinburgh going to offer up a similar scheme?
Well, we were talking about this earlier on, actually, and I'm never sure whether it's right to encourage people to get tattoos in the first place anyway. So I'd be interested to hear whether any of our supporters actually had an original Edinburgh tattoo. So, but believe me, if you can find an Edinburgh supporter that's got a tattoo on them, I'd be delighted to see it in the first place, and I'm happy to have that conversation if you find one anyway.
Challenge accepted. Sounds great.
There you go.
And another great thing you're doing, I think, from the announcement today, and really building on that idea of creating a club that everyone can get involved with, you're bringing in some new ticketing policies to encourage new fans to get involved with the sport. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing with these rebrands, and we have seen this through lessons that we've learned from other clubs and other teams that have done this recently as well, it's really important to us, rather than this just being we're doing a new logo and we're doing nothing else alongside that, you actually take practical steps to move the club on and really change the club. And clearly the timing has been right for us to do this alongside the announcement of our plans with the new stadium in the first place. But then it's really important to have the practical steps and the practical things that you're delivering to really move that club on. We've got an opportunity while we're playing in the main bowl here at BT Murrayfield. We've certainly got the space. I've got a few spare seats hanging around anyway. I think just about 62,000 of them, to be honest, anyway. So.
Yeah.
So we've got the ability to do something quite bold and quite creative with the ticketing, and I really want to make this the best product on the field at the best value, and putting that in the best environment when the stadium comes to fruition as well. So we felt right and right for us to take the opportunity to set out a new ticketing structure at a time when people are probably expecting us to put ticket prices up, that we actually make this more competitive and more accessible. So in bringing down many of our ticket prices, and making sure that for the first half of the season, for all Pro 14 matches, under 16s can go free when they come along with a paying adult, that they can go free along with an adult season ticket, that it's really making that as accessible as possible and encouraging people to come along, because with the product we're putting on the field and the value that we're creating with the ticket pricing, why wouldn't you?
Brilliant stuff. And I think we're going to be, in this pod, we're going to be discussing the sort of a bit of a look back on the season. But I think while I've got you here, what I'd like to hear is, beyond this sort of stuff, what are the ambitions for the club, and not just next year, in the sort of years to come? What's the vision?
It's growth. It's stability and certainty, and it's growth. We've got a fantastic group of young players, and we're already starting to see that group coming through, and we've enhanced that group and recruited very well across the squad going into next year. And in terms of the performance and the results that we show, yes, you've got that sort of, if you think about it, musical terms going into next year, the difficult second album, I suppose, where we've had a good first year, but now we need to consolidate that and grow into the second year. But this group of players has got a huge amount of potential, and that's an exciting place to be. We've reached the playoffs of the Pro 14. We're back in the Champions Cup, and we need to stay there. And we need to be working towards semi-finals, and we need to be working towards knockout stages of competitions. And we've got the ability to do that. And it's great that we've been able to secure Richard Cockerell's services through to 2021 as we continue to grow that group as well.
Absolutely.
When we get that right on the field, then you look at the potential for this place in terms of the audience that there exists for rugby in Edinburgh. We've got a big job to do, and this is the first step in that, getting them engaged, getting them involved in what we're doing and getting excited about professional rugby in Edinburgh. And when we get that right, it's going to be brilliant. And that's really the vision of what I see this as being.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds great, and looking forward to seeing it come to fruition. Johnny, thanks a lot for your time this evening, and we'll speak to you soon.
Good man. Thanks, David. Cheers.
So there you have it. If you are sitting listening and you've got an Edinburgh rugby tattoo of the old logo, please get in touch. Johnny Petrie is going to pay for it out of his own pocket to get that redone.
That'd be good for the little cannon you got on your bicep there.
Yeah, Alan, you should get that done.
If only I could get rid of my Border Reavers tattoo.
So please do get in touch on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, or on Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod, or on email thistlerugby@gmail.com.
We can't have people emailing about their tattoos.
We are looking for Edinburgh Rugby tattoos.
Looking
we
for compensation.
We are going to fill the Edinburgh Rugby inbox with applications for that.
Yes.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yes.
Apparently so.
What else? What did you guys make of it all? Start with the stadium.
Oh, I think the stadium's really good. I mean, if they got to stay one more year at Murrayfield, which will still be abysmal next year,
yeah,
then at least there is sort of the goal of a new stadium coming up in sort of 1920.
Yeah, so they're looking. Then hopefully, if all goes well, the stadium will be ready. Not next season, the stadium season after.
I've heard Edinburgh City Council like really well known for being like really efficient. So I'm sure
famously so.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll all go to plan/budget.
Yeah,
be absolutely fine. I'm a little bit unconvinced that it's going to be in place for 1920.
Yeah,
just it's a pretty massive undertaking, but flood defences are in place.
Oh, mate. The flood defences are finally in place.
Yeah,
we're safe.
Environmental, I mean, it standards.
Is, that water release is savage.
While it is a new stadium, it is temporary stands. So, I mean, I think that once that they get the new pitch and things like that all set.
Did they say anything about the pitch? Is it going to be a 4G. Hybrid?
Yeah,
it's 4G.
4G.
But it's a new pitch.
I spoke to Johnny Petrie. You haven't actually heard the Johnny Petrie interview yet, but we do go into 4Gs. I asked him about 4Gs.
All right, good.
What did he say? I'll be on the interview.
It's in the interview that we've obviously all just listened to, okay? Wow, good broadcasting, guys.
Right.
Stadium's it's good. It's good.
Right.
The rebrand, what do you think about
enough that? Enough positivity. Let's get on to the rebrand.
It's not too much to get pissed off about. At least they didn't go for, like, the Edinburgh Cougars or something, which I think people would have been a bit funny about.
Yeah.
But the Edinburgh Knights seem to be being chucked around, which I don't know where you get knights from in Scotland.
Castles, knights.
Yeah. But no, I think it's fine. I think it's like good overall. It just shows that, I don't know, finally sort of Edinburgh have underachieved for a long, long time. They've got a bit of success now. And they're like, right, let's see how we can build on that and actually like kind of create a new kind of history, I suppose.
I don't, outside of a very sort of hardcore fan base, I don't feel like many people are too attached to that badge and or sort of brand in general.
I feel sorry for the guy on Twitter called The Black and Red.
He's changed his photo to Orange is the New Black.
Oh, well, that's good then. Well, as long as he's dealing with it. I mean, I think you're quite right. I think it's that season of success, it allows them to sort of draw a line under it and sort of go forward. And I think you're always going to get people slagging off a rebrand.
Yeah,
that's always going to happen.
Exactly.
I think they didn't go Bristol Bears. They have not gone sort of like massive on it. It's just
Edinburgh, and that's fine. You know, that burnt orange is based on the volcanic history of Edinburgh, according to the marketing materials. So, you know.
Someone's paid like 30 grand.
Exactly, exactly. Classic management consultant.
Clearly he's had like cockerel on like paint. Absolutely fine.
And yeah, so the ticketing, they're bringing in some cheaper stuff, which is great.
Well, I guess what average attendance at Marseille this year, three to four?
Yeah, if you're something lucky, like that. Yeah.
Obviously, by sort of just lower those prices, you hopefully once that temporary stand comes in, you can sort of try and fill out that
7,800.
Yeah. So is that starting next year then?
Yeah, so starting next year. Even I think they want to get
a few more numbers in Murrayfield. Like,
they've got.
I've always thought they might as well. You might as well give away tickets.
Yeah.
Only other cost is, I suppose, like security on the day, but.
Yeah, they've got a few spare seats in Murrayfield that they can fill up.
Exactly.
I generally thought it was pretty good. It's going to be interesting to see. And it comes off the back of a very successful Edinburgh season. So why don't we have a look back at that as a sort of end of season review off the back of that. So
can we chat a bit about the Ben Ryan?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because obviously on Stephen Jones's
Boo Rugby
podcast,
whatever that's called,
he has an interview with Ben Ryan for about 45 minutes, which Ben Ryan was very interesting, but it was still terrible because Stephen Jones was on it. And Ben Ryan sort of gave out a little comment there, I don't think we've seen in the press at all, that he was not just interviewing for the Edinburgh job. He made it very clear that he had been offered the Edinburgh job and had decided it wasn't for him. And maybe that's just because he's had such a bad experience with the RFU and probably maybe felt that the SOU in general would be
similar.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting that you would offer someone like Ben Ryan the job, and now we don't know if anyone else offered the job, but if we make the assumption that Cockerell was the next to be offered, there's probably not another coach in British rugby who's almost like the polar opposite of Ryan.
I know.
It's quite funny.
And it just makes you think, like, what was the sort of strategy at the outset when they decided when they were hiring a new coach?
Yeah.
Because it clearly wasn't, we want this to be our game plan next season. We want to do open rugby. We want to do like forwards-based rugby, because then you wouldn't have Ben Ryan and Cockerell in the same conversation. So
maybe they just wanted like a big name, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of that.
Which worked out, so.
Maybe they felt they needed someone from outside Scotland.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They needed someone with this sort of name and prestige to sort of carry a bit of weight with those players.
Ben Ryan, I think he could be good. He's also, he'd be pretty big risk.
Yes.
Never coached 15s properly before.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a really more interesting appointment than Cockerell.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah.
Especially with the talent of backs that they had and the style of play that Edinburgh have gone with.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a much harder job for Ben Ryan to make an impact in 1 year than it would be for the impact that Cockerell's made in 1 year.
Yeah.
But hey, it didn't happen. So
we got Cockers, and in the Pro 14 stat line, if I'd been telling you at the start of the year, Edinburgh would have played 21, won 15, lost 6, scored 494 points, and finished 2 points behind the Scarlets, qualifying.
And Leinster.
Qualifying for the Champions Cup and going down, you know, within one score of beating Munster in a quarterfinals of the Pro 14, you would have laughed me out of town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. The state. I think we generally do take for granted like how far Edinburgh have come in a year, like where they were last year at the start of the season, and what has happened with fairly similar personnel. There hasn't been wholesale changes.
No.
Little bits and pieces. how much of that do you think is down to just pure Richard Cockerell?
A vast amount, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's probably not so much. I almost think not a lot of it's probably on the training ground. I think a lot of it is, and I don't really like talking about stuff like this, but mental and culture.
Yeah.
Like we've said it before, the amount of games last season that Edinburgh lost in the last 5 minutes was genuinely an embarrassment.
Yeah.
And the amount of games that they managed to hold on this season or win in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Really impressive. And you just had like, and obviously they're losing him this season, but I think it was, what, two or three times this season that Duncan Weir's like chucking over drop balls. Two or three minutes to go.
I know.
So now that they've got that mindset in place and, you know, from the amount of transfer activity done, they've cleared out quite a lot of the dross.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Actually quite excited about quite a few of the signings. So I think they're a really great place next season.
I totally agree. Same playing staff and the coaching. Like, everyone knows Colin McRae. I think he's been pretty good. Callum McRae, sorry, not the rally driver. I think he's been pretty good. I think he's quite an underrated coach, actually. He was good when he was Sevens coach as well.
Yeah.
But you've got Hodge there. It's not as if there's like a different voice. So, yeah, Cockerell's made such a difference. And I think it is just, he does talk about things like when he's talking about the rebrand, just like the identity of the club. And that obviously coming from Leicester and even Toulon, I think he was genuinely like shocked by, you know, a club that has produced a lot of internationals and has, I suppose, a lot of history. He was like, there's no culture, there's no sense of heritage or identity. And I think him just like working on that actually made quite a big difference. I'm trying to think, like, on the pitch, the kind of style isn't, not maybe that like kind of unique or anything, like that readily sort of identifiable, but as Alan was saying, they're just really quite gritty now. Like, built obviously on good foundations up front, and like, I suppose, pretty direct play in the backs. That's all you can really say.
Yeah.
And a definitely. Bit of individual clash and like, you know, Kinghorn, Bill Matta, Watson, those kind of guys.
Big Doohan.
He was a good sign.
Well, before we start listing off all the players, how about we look at it like this? So I want a player of the year, a rising star, a fall from grace, and then, you know, the one big work on for Edinburgh next year. So let's start on player of the year. I'm going to chuck in pure, I think mostly because of the journey he's been on in those 12 months, Rambo, from this time last year to now, is essentially unrecognisable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to go from maybe not getting a game last year behind Neil Cochrane to then becoming Scotland captain and very like deserved. So one of the best hookers in the tournament, the Six Nations. I think he was Edinburgh Player of the Year this year. Scotland, like the Opta stats team or something of the year as well.
Yeah.
Like, class.
I think if it was Scotland's Player of the Year, I'd almost pick Stuart McInally, but I think day in, day out, Blair Kinghorn.
I was going to say Blair Kinghorn.
Is by far the best player in an Edinburgh shirt this whole year.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
And I think just, I was a bit worried that he'd have a bit of second season syndrome and not be able to sort of make the impact that he made at the back end of last season. And he's been unbelievable and genuinely not pushing Stuart Hogg for a place, but, you know, if Stuart Hogg goes down, I've got absolutely no issues with Blair Kinghorn starting.
I mean, Kinghorn overall has probably had a better season than Hogg, form-wise.
Yes.
But obviously, Hogg, when he does play for Scotland, is, you know, by and large, one of the best players.
Yeah. And I generally think that Blair Kinghorn will be looked at as potentially starting winger for Scotland next season. I think against Ireland, he did not look out of place on the wing at that level.
Definitely.
I think someone like Tommy Seymour is going to be incredibly worried.
Yeah.
Blair Kinghorn for me, the fact that he Charles Pietau beat him in the team of the year.
I could quite work that out.
I mean, Pietau's stats are...
It's just stats, isn't
stars,
it?
But I think Kinghorn's stats are better.
Yeah, I was thinking... Yeah.
But I think Pietau, because it's his last season at Ulster and he's off, I think they probably felt on balance they just gave it
overall,
to him.
Overall, yeah, a few seasons.
I'd say another honourable mention for a hell of a season, Grant Gilchrist, I think it's been the first time that he's really put his sort of hand up. Both for Scotland and Edinburgh, he's put in some really, really massive performances. I think Jamie Ritchie had a really, really great start to the season, but picks up a couple of injuries, which slowed him down a little bit. But I think he's a great, not only a great talent for the future of Scotland, but for that Edinburgh back row as well. Yeah. He's going to offer so much.
I mentioned Bill Matta as well.
Yeah, like, Bill Matta.
So they signed him and it was just like, who's this lad? Like, he's from Fiji. That's all you really knew about him. He's unbelievable. And someone like Glasgow have been crying out for a player like him this season. So he's been great.
What do you think about, so looking at that young crop of players coming through Edinburgh, which is actually looking very tidy now, what do you think of like a sort of rising star for the year or sort of looking into next season?
I was going to say Crosby. My only concern with Crosby is I just, he's a bit of a big ball carrier. I don't know if he's got that extra dimension to his game.
He seems like a bit of a donkey.
Yeah, I think he's...
He's just like goes 100%, but you know, that's kind of it.
Yes, and I kind of feel like at the end of the day, if you've got like a Bradbury in your team, Crosby's not going to really be able to offer you that much more. And we're probably being a bit harsh.
Yeah.
And it's testament to how good he's been this season that we're sort of talking about him in those sort of circles.
Yeah.
But I, at the moment, I'm just not sure that he's going to be able to kick on to sort of the next level.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It was good to see Darcy Graham get a few games, and he looked quite handy when he did play. I think he's still got plenty of time. I reckon he'll get a few more games next year, hopefully. See what he can do. It's quite hard to pick people. I think that everyone played pretty well, and actually, I think it was mainly, as we were saying, it's still like the same squad from last year playing well.
Who's had a bad year then?
Edinburgh. It's not really the happiest year for someone like Duncan Weir, but he played well.
Duncan Weir is a strange one where he's probably had his most memorable season for Edinburgh, but now he's being let go.
And,
you know, at least he's going off to Worcester and he's going to be playing for a Premiership club next season.
Still in the shop window.
Exactly. If you're a Scottish player starting or even in the squad for a Premiership team, You're going to get a look in at the national team.
Definitely am.
So... I think for his Scottish based career, it's been a bit of a sad one. But actually, in terms of performance,
It's quite a weird one.
You'll go down as an Edinburgh legend for the drop goal against Ulster.
Kind of shows how low the bar is for me.
2 years,
beat Ulster away, and you're like that guy.
What about players like Phil Burley?
Yeah.
He was in the autumn international squad, but he's not really had much of a look.
I was quite excited when he first came over from the Highlanders, thinking like, this is a decent player. But I've never been that impressed by him. I think he got dicked around a bit, like played 10 and played 12, and I think he wanted to play 12. A time when like Alan Solomons as coach is not exactly going to make a back look that good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
biggest fall for grace, John Hardy.
We all like
John Hardy, and it's obvious. I actually think he's probably been treated a bit harshly by Edinburgh and the SRU. But in terms of someone who has the potential to be a Scotland starting seven, being out for 3 months and being let go by Edinburgh,
I know
it's a pretty massive fall from grace, and without a club currently,
he's not. Yeah, not been.
And we've been hearing rumours that he might go back to New Zealand, which. Obviously, if that's kind of where he wants to go, that's great. But in terms of his Scotland career, it feels like that'd be a massive dent in the chances of him going to the Rugby World Cup.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. What about looking into next year? So an amazing season for Edinburgh. The SRU have now sort of made this big investment in them. They've got the stadium coming in. They've got the coaching staff. And, you know, they've done some handy business players like Simon Hickey coming in, John Barkley coming back up. It's a year of optimism, definitely for Edinburgh. What would you say is the thing that they've got to work on? What have they got to be doing to not just compete at the same level of next year, but actually maybe progress further into the Pro 14 sort of knockouts?
Yeah, I'm actually a bit worried that they might have that slight second season syndrome.
Yeah,
just because I think that this year, sorry, next year, teams won't underestimate Edinburgh. They'll be like, this is a good side. We can't take them lightly like we probably could in the past. I think that as part of that, Edinburgh probably need to actually develop their performance side of things a bit more. Like I think last year, they won very good at getting results, but that was often maybe at the expense slightly of performance. I think that if they want to keep going, they've got to maybe add a few more strings to their bow and attack, develop that side of things. So hopefully, Hickey and Matt Scott can add a bit to that.
Yeah, I think... Hickey's probably the player I'm most excited about.
Yep.
In terms of he's got that Super Rugby background. He's played for Bordeaux in the top 14 and not just been a bit part player.
Mm.
I think whilst Van de Vaart has been okay, I don't think he's a 10 who's going to win you the Pro 14. And so I think if Simon Hickey can really take that team by the scruff of the neck, there's enough there for them to really challenge for definitely being in the top two of that group next
season. Yeah. I think the other good thing is that they have gone to that the knockout this year. I think that actually stands, because I even think like against Munster, you know, they big themselves up and say, yeah, we can win this. We don't care that we've not been there before. But then when they got there, it was a bit rabbit in the headlights, and they're like, wasn't probably until the last 20 minutes and they actually thought, oh, we probably should win this. So that'll stand them in good stead.
Absolutely. Okay, so shall we have a look at Glasgow through the same lens? Have a look back at their season. What are your sort of general thoughts on their season, Alan?
It's disappointing.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if they don't, the thing with Glasgow is because they've done so well for the last 4 years. I think any season where they don't get to the Pro 14 final or at least make a slight dent in Europe is going to be considered a bad season. I think it. I actually think, in retrospect, this season will be a good foundation for next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully, there's going to be a couple more signings to come in. And I think George Horn, Adam Hastings, and Matt Ferguson have shown enough this season.
Who's Matt Ferguson?
Ferguson.
Fagerson.
Fagerson.
All right, you've broken his spirit.
Sorry, mate.
Come on.
Spirits are already low. Sorry. Sappuccino.
I can't be fighting you as well.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that it just shows how far the bar has been set now that we're like, oh, it was a bit rubbish this season when, you know, they did finish top of the group and got to the semi-final.
It is that issue, though, is if when they went through that winning kind of run at the start of the season, they weren't playing that well, but they were kind of managing to do it. And it
feels
like in the Pro 14, you can get away with that, whereas in, like, the Premiership, you can't.
Yeah.
And it just feels like almost those weaknesses were just covered up by how poor the Pro 14 league can be at certain points.
I think particularly when like teams like Leinster and Scarlets that do peak, they're pretty good at that. Whereas it seems as if Glasgow sort of did all their good stuff in that first 10 game streak.
Glasgow's top players did not step up by the end of the season, post Six Nations.
Not only just at the end of the season, I think in the big Champions Cup games and things like that, and I think that had a huge thing to do with their season. I remember watching that first game against Exeter and they were in it right until the death, but then just sort of got battered and couldn't quite get over the line, and I think that had a massive effect on their, like, and then they did essentially the same against Leinster the week after.
Yeah,
those big game players, the Scotland internationals, where you see your, like, your Johnny Sextons and your James Ryan's, who's in his first season, or your big game players, your Rob Kearney's at Leinster, they turn up for those massive fixtures, be it in the Pro 14 or the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel that Glasgow had that, particularly in the pack.
No. To be honest, they don't have that many big game players in the pack, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too many, like, very experienced internationals.
I guess the thing is, Xander Ferguson and Batty, they're, like, coming back from the Scotland team, but it's not... They're not these big, like, 28-year-olds kind of been there, done that, got the T-shirt sort of players. They're still
young guys.
So I think you're just hoping that development...
Just another year of experience.
Yeah.
I think it'll have a big impact that Dave Rennie is now there.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we do forget that he turned up, like, 1 week, maybe 2 weeks before the first game last season.
Yeah.
He was doing sort of Skype interviews and things like that before then.
Yeah.
It's not a normal environment for him to sort of stamp his authority. And you think in that interview that we talked about 2 weeks ago, he still says he's got about six new players to come into the squad.
Six more USA Eagle internationals. Please,
we'll have to see who
sign
they are,
someone good.
It feels that there might be something more coming out. But what do you think, player of the season for Glasgow?
George Horn. It's got to be.
You think?
Oh, easily. Maybe at the start you would have said Callum Gibbons, but I think he tailed off slightly.
I think he tailed off a little bit.
George Horn this whole season, like, you know, he was good in his first few games. You think, yeah, this guy's got a bit about him. And just the way he's kicked on to the point where he was starting those big matches at 9 ahead of Ali Price and even Purgos just shows how well he was playing and how much trust Rennie had in him. So, yeah, he's my player of the season by miles.
I had put Callum Gibbons as a player of the season. But I do agree that obviously it felt like the impact he was able to make in those final games was a lot lower than he was at the start.
Yeah, definitely.
Was at the start of the season. But I think in terms of for next season, that if he gets that a bit of rest now in that full preseason, yeah, I think he could be absolutely destructive next year. Yeah, George Horn, player of the year and young player of the year.
Yeah, I know.
But in that rising star category, I know he got the Glasgow young player of the year as well, but beyond him in that rising star category, you've got players like Matt Ferguson coming through who looks like he could be the real deal. He's still only 19 years old and he was starting the big games at the end of the year as well.
I want them to move him to number eight and be like, right, you are going to be the Glasgow and Scotland number eight.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be his best position.
I completely agree. And it'd be interesting to see if that Stafford McDowell, who's a Scotland under 20 captain, plays at 12.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll... And he's played a lot with, like, I think he maybe played age group with, like, Ferguson.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if he gets stuck in next year, because he's obviously played a really good Prem 1 season.
Mm.
And he might be that next kind of boatload of young players kind of coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what we're saying on Rising Stars?
I think so. Then what about Fallings? Unless you had another
There's
one.
No one else who's really come in. I know, like, Ross McCann was chatted about, but he's not really.
He's not played any.
Not been able to get any game time.
He's with Edinburgh.
George Turner,
but he's an Edinburgh player.
Until further notice, yeah.
No, yeah, I'd mentioned him, to be fair.
Like, I thought George Turner had it.
Kind of chucked across. It felt a bit like, I'm sure Rennie was like, I don't know who this guy is, but SU said, well, you can have this hooker.
I thought he's great. Bloody good. I thought he had a really good season. I'd say someone like Sam Johnson had a very good year for Glasgow.
Yeah.
I think Nick Grigg maintained a pretty solid level of performance all year. He's picked up a few caps as well. Like, probably like Glasgow stalwart all year.
Rui Jackson.
You
mentioned him.
That's true.
The Renaissance.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. Been played so many.
He's been really good.
He's been a really.
You're right there, mate.
I'm just like choking a little bit. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, who do you think's had a bad year then?
Falling Star. Ali Price had a bad year.
Yeah,
and
majority of Scottish international players had a bad year for Glasgow.
Ryan Wilson had a shocker.
Tommy Seymour had a bad year.
No, but can we talk about Ryan Wilson, please?
Yeah, okay, let's talk about Ryan Wilson.
I know we do it, but against Scarlett, I'm sorry, he was woeful. And it's just continued like the whole season of him not stepping up and making mistakes. And I just don't quite get it.
Well, he's got a new 2-year contract, so we'll have plenty more times to talk about him doing that.
For goodness sake.
So to finish up on Glasgow there, what do you think they need for next year, aside from a big ball carrying number 8?
Yeah, we've mentioned that a lot, haven't we? With Finn going, it seems as if Adam Hastings is being handed the mantle. So he's got to really step up, I think.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're just saying, like, he's looked good in the flashes that he's played, but that is against, like, Zebre and the Kings. So
and during the Six Nations period when the internationals aren't playing.
So I'm not saying that he can't do it. It just remains to be seen what he's like in those sort of maybe like bigger pressure matches. Yeah. So that'll be pretty crucial.
Agreed. Alan, any thoughts?
No, I mean, as I said, just can Hastings step up in those big games and can they match the big teams in the forwards?
Mm.
That's kind of it. If they get those two things in place,
yeah,
they will be competing to win the Pro 14 this year.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. And what about Europe?
I think it just depends on the group. I think my issue is I think Glasgow get a good group. I think at home they can probably take pretty much anyone if they play well.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I just worry that if they end up with a sort of a Montpellier-Leinster extra group, they just don't have the depth to kind of take on that campaign.
I also just kind of struggle to see them doing any better than quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Even if they get there. Because then you get, it's such a tough competition. Like, because chances are you're probably going to be playing against one of the top seeded teams, like a Saracens or a Racing.
Yes.
And I just don't know if Glasgow have enough, particularly in the pack.
There is still just like that there's about a group of four or five teams, which would be Leinster, Racing, Clermont, maybe Exeter, which away from home I just can't currently see Glasgow being in a knockout match.
Exactly.
Everyone else, I think if Glasgow bring it, they can got a really good chance. And so, but yeah, you know, Dave Rennie has done basically great things wherever he's gone. So we've got to give him the benefit.
Yeah, definitely.
There's clearly going to be, there's a long-term plan there that he's working towards. So see what players come in, see what they're like shaping up pre-season. A few of the bigger name players are resting this year. Hopefully Tommy Seymour, etc., come back absolutely firing. And, yeah, go on and win the Pro 14.
That'd be nice.
Sounds good to me. Right, finally, Scotland are in Edmonton in Canada to play their first of their summer tour matches.
Just getting chinned in Vancouver.
They are. Nick Griggs Instagram, they're absolutely shit-faced.
He's out on the smash. Looks sweet. Look, yeah. A proper tour.
Looks like a good night.
Looks like a good time. So they've got 1 week to recover and then playing Canada next, well, Sunday morning, UK time. It's a 2 a.m. kickoff for one for the absolute diehards. What do you think Gregor Townsend's going to do? Do you think he's going to treat the USA and the Canada games as development opportunities and then save the sort of bigger names for Argentina?
Well, Stuart Hogg's been told that he's not going to play in the Argentina match.
Yeah.
Which is quite, it seems quite, you'd think it'd be the other way around. So I'm not quite sure how they're going to approach it.
Yeah, It was a bit strange when they said that, but obviously again they just back player Kinghorn to be able to play that Argentina game.
And I guess they want yeah. Hoggy to just rest a little bit.
I'm starting to think now they might just play their full strength team for all three games, and Hoggy just drop might. Out for the last.
Yeah,
game.
I think you might as well because they are resting a few people. It's still a good chance for people to develop and sort of come into the team and try and nail down their spot.
Yeah,
and ultimately, I don't know. You do need to win these games.
Yeah, you do. It's
not like the end of the world. They're not huge, big, important matches, but you can't be sort of having hopes of like winning the Six Nations and doing well in a World Cup and then losing to Canada or USA.
Also, Argentina's the big game.
Yeah.
Jaguares, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite good, mate.
Well done, man. Well done.
Jaguares are looking good.
Yeah, they are.
Like, it feels like putting out two pretty different teams in the lead-up to the Argentina game and then potentially playing a slightly different team again.
Yeah.
You're just going to go into like bloody like Lions Den and BA and just get absolutely.
Is it in BA?
I have absolutely no idea. I made a clear assumption that it would be in Buenos Aires, but it could very easily be in like Cordoba or Rosario.
You know an awful lot of towns in Argentina, yeah, don't you?
I've seen a few things in Argentina. Don't you worry about it.
I've seen you do a few things in Argentina.
Before we stray violently off topic there.
There's only been a few undefeated tours of Argentina,
yeah.
And me and Matt have been part of one.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
Didn't you cancel one of the last matches because you were all so hungover?
It's a story for another pod.
we had a vote and the vote went the right way. Just leave it at that.
There was also corruption.
It was fixed.
It was a fixed vote.
Well, that sounds great. Is there anything else you want to say on the Scotland games other than,
No. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think they win?
Yes, I think they win all three.
You think they win all three?
Yeah.
I think they might lose to Argentina.
They will definitely beat Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Canada, total dog.
Yeah.
I think they'll lose to Argentina. I've just got a feeling. That's a tough game.
Yeah.
Argentina away is a very tough game.
Are they
game.
Bringing in the non-Argentinian based players?
I don't think they select them anymore.
But they were going to change it for the... But it might just be for the World Cup.
Mm.
But yeah, there was chat that they were going to do it for the World... They were going to do it for the World Cup.
They're playing at the Estadio Centenario.
Sweet.
Could be anywhere.
Could that literally be anywhere?
Well, I expect that Scotland team will be announced in the middle of this week, probably Thursday of this week coming. So keep an eye on our social channels, Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod and Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And we will do that for you.
Shall I give you a quick quiz?
Have you got one?
I've got a very quick one.
It better be quick.
If you want.
I don't think we've got anyone still listening.
According
so
to this
well.
Match, they're playing in Uruguay.
What?
Let's check this for another time.
Let's assume that they're not playing in Uruguay.
Sorry.
Do we need a quiz, Alan?
Yeah, let's do a quiz.
Right.
Go on then.
Three quick questions.
Three.
Who coached Edinburgh from 2005 to 2006?
2005 to 2006?
I don't know.
Rob Moffat.
I was going to say Rob Moffat as well.
Rob Moffat was 09 to 11.
Bloody hell. Oh, wait, hold on.
05, 06.
You can just chuck guesses at me.
Todd Blackadder.
Boom. 1-0.
Oh,
<Dave.
laughs> yes.
1-0 to Dave.
Hold on, mate.
2000 to 2005. This is just, we're going. Boom.
2005. Quite literally no idea.
No idea.
What are we good? Come on, you got someone.
Bob Eason. I don't know.
Coach.
Haddon.
Boom, 1-0.
Oh, nice.
2011 to 2013, who coached Edinburgh?
Michael Bradley.
Oh. Hanny comes straight on. Who is Edinburgh's most capped player?
Well, time. Ever.
Ever.
Patterson.
No. Most points, though.
Chunk.
Boom. 3-1 to Hanny, and he takes the win.
Game over. Well,
well done.
That was a nice way to finish.
That was nice.
Maybe we do that next time. Maybe
just
maybe
quick, yeah, quick yeah.
fire.
Boom, yeah, I think that's good. Boom.
Sorry, they aren't playing in Uruguay. It's in Resistencia in Argentina, which is in the northeast.
The north is the rugby heartland.
I've never heard of Resistencia, though. Looks like it's fairly close to BA, to be fair.
Let's wind this up.
I think we can call that a day. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week to chat more about the summer tour. Thanks for joining us, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.